Dear friends in Christ, a few years ago, a Sunday school teacher was telling her class of third graders about the Ten Commandments. When she got to the fourth commandment, she said to her students, "This commandment instructs us to honor our parents. We're to respect and obey them. Is there a commandment which teaches us how to deal with our brothers and sisters?" One little boy raised his hand and said, "How about you shall not kill?" Out of the mouth of babes. To be honest, though, the Ten Commandments are fairly easy to comprehend. Children can comprehend them fairly easily. They're easier to learn than the other teachings of the Bible, like the teaching of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Part of that has to do with the fact that we're exposed to laws, regulations, and rules all our lives. You can't live in this world and not be told what to do and what not to do. The concept of the Ten Commandments and God's law in general is something we're pretty familiar with. Yet quite a few misunderstandings have crept into our thinking about the Ten Commandments over the years. We don't always have a right understanding or appreciation for the Ten Commandments, and this can be dangerous. And so today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'd like to clear up some of those misconceptions. Today, we ask God to give us a right understanding and proper regard for the Ten Commandments. First, we need to understand that the Ten Commandments are a teaching of God's law. God's law is any Bible verse or passage that tells us what to do and not to do, how we are to be and not to be. Now, a lot of people view God's law as nothing more than God's attempt to take away our fun. It's a killjoy. But God's law is good. As our sermon hymn states, "The law of God is good and wise." You see, God's law reflects who God is. It reflects his character, his goodness, his being. Think about it. God doesn't lie. God doesn't cheat. God honors marriage. He wants the best for his people. He doesn't steal. God's law shows us what God is like. God's law speaks to the very purpose of our existence. It shows something of why we exist, something of the meaning of our lives. Many years ago, Time magazine ran a story about Peter Sellers. Remember him? Peter Sellers. He was the comic who played Inspector Jacques Clouseau in the Pink Panther movies. The article talked about Sellers appearing on The Muppet Show. He was being interviewed by Kermit the Frog. And during the interview, Kermit said, "Now, Peter, just relax and be yourself." Sellers responded, "I can't be myself because I don't know who I am. The real me doesn't exist." One of Sellers' friends said of him, "Poor Peter, the real Peter disappeared a long time ago. What he is an amalgamation of all the characters he's ever played. Now he's frantically trying to unravel that mess and find out who he is." And he's not alone. A lot of people don't know why they're here, why they exist. But the Bible is clear. The Bible says that God created human beings to have fellowship with him, to be in a loving relationship with him. What's more, he created human beings to reflect something of his character and goodness, to be as he is, loving, seeking the good of others, doing his will as expressed in the Ten Commandments. And that's the way it was in the Garden of Eden. That's the way it was in the Garden of Eden until Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they and all their descendants became sinful. People who fall short of the mark of God's law. When you really understand the Ten Commandments, you see clearly that we haven't lived up to God's law. That's why we call the law a mirror. It reflects our sin. We look at it and see that we're sinful human beings. You know, a lot of people think they don't break the seventh commandment, which is you shall not steal. They haven't broken the seventh commandment because they haven't committed robbery. But Scripture says, if you commit fraud, if you lie, if you mislead people, if you don't help your neighbor protect and improve his property and business, you've broken the seventh commandment. Even the best of us sins every day, if not with our actions, then certainly with our thoughts and our words and our impulses. And our sin offends God. It puts a wall between God and us. You know, in our culture, we have forgotten how sin angers God, how it offends God. Look at today's gospel lesson. When Jesus saw the sellers and the money changers cheating people in the temple, when he saw them being greedy within the temple, he was furious. He was angry at sin. God doesn't like sin at all. So, how can we be right with God? How can we be free of God's anger and have a loving relationship with him? Well, we can't be right with God through the law by keeping the Ten Commandments. We don't keep the Ten Commandments the way God intends. If we're going to heaven and live with God forever, there has to be another way. And God provided that way in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus kept God's law perfectly. He loved God and others perfectly. Jesus was always ready to pray, always ready to hear God's word, to worship and serve the Lord. He was always ready to put others first, listening to people and responding to their needs. And in obedience to the Father and out of love for us, he offered that perfect life as a ransom for all our sins. God didn't excuse our sins, but nailed them to the cross, saying, sin brings death and punishment. But I laid your sins on Jesus. He died the death and suffered the punishment that should have been yours. And because of him, you're free, forgiven. You're a member of my family. There's a beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that talks about Jesus' sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul writes, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus was the only truly innocent person this world has ever known. He knew no sin, not a hint of it. Yet he took all the guilt of the world, all the evil of the world on himself to make us right with God. He covered himself with the wickedness of the world and gives to us his righteousness. We're not saved by the law. We have peace with God and eternal life because of Jesus and his work. He did it all. Well, does that mean the Ten Commandments have no place in our lives? We don't have to worry about the Ten Commandments? No, not at all. Because we've experienced the love of Jesus Christ shown on the cross, we love him and we love others. The two go hand in hand. Filled with Christ's love, we reflect that love to other people. And the law shows us how to love others. if you love someone, you're not going to steal from him or lie to him or curse him or ruin his good name. If you love your spouse, you're going to be faithful to him or her. You're going to want to grow in your marriage. You're going to want to serve your spouse. See how it works? The law doesn't save us. The law teaches us how to do good and show love to others. Martin Luther once said, God doesn't need your good works. God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. Around Christmas time every year, my former congregation would publish a list of shut-ins. Normally, there were 20 to 25 names listed. And people were invited to send Christmas cards to these shut-ins, and quite a few members did exactly that. They sent Christmas cards to every shut-in. I would say 10 people did that. Well, those people who sent Christmas cards, that didn't help them get to heaven. No, they have heaven because of Jesus, because Jesus has made them citizens of heaven. But you know what? What a difference that made in the lives of the shut-ins. They were lifted up. So many of them said to me, "Oh, Pastor, I got so many cards from church members. It really made my Christmas." See what I mean? Following God's law reflects Jesus' love, and that reflected love is a light in this world. How did Jesus put it in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand. And it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. When the pastor who confirmed me taught my class about the Ten Commandments, he used to say, good works do not make a Christian, but a Christian does good works. And what does that mean? He was saying that the essence of being a Christian is not keeping the law, but faith in Jesus Christ. And following the commandments follows that. He was right. As we live our Christian lives, we cherish the Ten Commandments. They are good and wise. But we don't base our identity on the commandments. We're not Christians because we keep the commandments. We're Christians because we're sinners who depend on Jesus Christ as Savior. We're thankful for and praise God for the Ten Commandments because they show us what God is like. They reflect His goodness and character and mercy. We're thankful for the Ten Commandments because they show us our sin and our need for Jesus. They drive us to our Savior. We're thankful for the Ten Commandments because as God's redeemed people, they show us how to love others. How to love others as Christ loves us. So thank God for the Ten Commandments. They are good and wise. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.